Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are now in lesson 110. And last time we were in the book of John, that is 1 John in chapter 2, where John is making it very plain that people who disobey the Torah of God, who disobey the commandments of God, do not know God. They are not His people. They are liars. And he's speaking about those kind of people being anti-Christ. What do you mean anti-Christ? You're anti-what Christ is all about. The nature of God, the nature of Christ, the nature that He came and revealed of the Father and of Himself. Nature of love, what is love? Fulfilling of the Torah, fulfilling of the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of people in His day, and eternally were not among the community of Israel, they were outside it, that were coming from the outside, from the world, grievous wolves, who had no knowledge, no understanding of the Torah of God. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. They just wanted to continue their own way of life before that, where they could go to the temple prostitutes, where they could continue the ways of the world and have all those parties and debaucheries and everything else. And yes, they liked the idea of Jesus Christ of a redemption, but they wanted all that and yet continue in their own old ways. And so they're the ones that began to come into the body of believers. Many of them were Israelites and others were not. And they were beginning to deceive people. And that's what Paul mainly had to combat, among the people that were coming into the church that were not of the children of Israel, because they did not have that attitude. That was not their concept. Let us do evil that grace may abound. In other words, let's do away with Torah. That was not their attitude. And yet, this is exactly what we're finding to this very day. An awful lot of the children of Israel that came out of a world in which they all thought for a long time that they were Gentiles and were taught the ways of the Gentiles and were told very deeply, generation after generation, and it entered deeply into their heart and minds that the Torah is no good for you, it's not for you, it's old stuff, it's Jewish stuff, it's of the old harsh monster, and so they developed that resentment and that negative attitude toward it, so that it's not too difficult for them to return to it when some false prophets come and lead them back to that same level of resentment and hatred toward the law of God and tell them we just live by grace and by love. And that's foolish to even say that, because that's an oxymoron to say you live by love. Love is what? Fulfilling of the law. So how can you say on one hand the law is done away with, and on the other hand, tell people you live by love, just love one another? And that's what John is trying to explain. The people that say that I love him or I know him and do not keep the Torah are liars. And this is what he's telling to the children of Israel and to all those who are going to listen. And if you don't understand from that point of view, from the understanding of the point of view of who and what is the true Church of God and all the teachings that were given to the Church of God, the people of Israel, to give to all mankind and to begin with them themselves should walk in them, you just don't understand what you're reading. And many are in ignorance. And many are all the Antichrist and they have that spirit in them, and yet they think that they are servants of God and they call themselves Christians. If you're anti-Torah, you're anti-Christ. That's what Christ is. He's the end result of that Torah. And so this is what he's telling them. Little children, verse 18 of chapter 2, it is the last hour. In contrast, he's saying, let's continue. He said, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists, many of those who speak evil of the Torah, have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Because that's what the prophets told them, and that's what Christ told them. Many shall come in my name and deceive many. How? By telling them the Torah is done away with. You don't have to keep my commandments and law. That's how they deceive people. On the other hand, if they accept him because he's atoning for your sins, his blood is shed for you. On the other hand, he said, okay, now that we've got that, let's forget all about it, and let's go and do the very things for which he came and died. Those are anti-Christ, and to this very day they are alive and well, and many of them are in our midst. That's why when he come and tell them about the Torah, they don't want to hear about it. That's old stuff. Yeah, Oh, they pick and choose some that they like, and all as for the others, they throw it behind my back. I don't want it. I just want to live by grace and faith. And so he's warning them about this kind of attitude and this kind of people, and then thinking that, well, this is what the prophet said and what Christ said, therefore this must be the end time. Of course, that was not. That was 2,000 years ago. But those things have been prophesied a long time ago. But in either case, he told them that. There would be people, as he said earlier in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. Why? Why don't love the world when God says, God so loved the world? Why not love the world? Well, he'll explain why. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, what is it? Disobedience to the Torah. The Torah commands you not to be lustful and gave you many instructions. Why should not be that way? And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All those things are forbidden by the royal law. That's what the Gentiles are all about. That's what God told Israel. That's why separate yourself from them. Don't even eat with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't have any commerce with them of any sort. Because if you do, you'll become like them. And that's how they became idol worshippers. The Gentiles wanted to see God, so they created God in their own image and likeness. You know, they put gold around it and silver and all those things. And to this very day, people do it and bow down before them. They call them saints. You bow down only before God, not before men, especially not a dead person. Doesn't even exist anymore until the resurrection. And so this is what he's telling them. All that is of the lust of the flesh, you know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, and is not of Christ, and is not of the true church of God. And this whole thing is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And what is the will of God? But that you keep his commandments. If you enter into life, keep the commandments, keep the Torah. You see what kind of a life people have been living in? What kind of false religions they've been walking in? Thinking that they are people of God, people of Christ, call themselves Christians, Christianity. And they're all, from God's point of view, anti-Christ. Because they're anti-teachings of Christ. The Torah of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, or the pick and choose some things that they like to do, especially things that have to do with morality. They see the value in them, and yet they reject many other things. And God tells you very plainly, as he said through John or James, you break one of them, you broke the whole thing. You got to keep the entirety of it to become like Jesus Christ. And so that spirit of Antichrist began to filter into the body of Christ from the Gentiles, not from the children of Israel, who knew what the Torah was all about, but from the Gentiles, and it is against them that he's warning. And unfortunately, many of the children of Israel totally departed from God, that they became like Gentiles in thought and in mind and in heart and in spirit, and they too have total resentment against the law of God. And for that matter, the children of Israel always had a lot of resentment against the Torah of God. That's why all the problems that came upon them, that's why the rebellion, and that's why ultimately why Christ had to come and atone for their sins. And to this very day, they are no different. And yet they kid themselves. They think that they are beloved by God, and they love God, and God is in their heart, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I love Jesus, and they speak about Jesus, and they think about him, and they've got even a messianic religion, you know, they're all, you know, it's a Jesus religion, so to speak, and yet many of them have been taught and believe it by the false prophets that came among them, which they think that they are of God, and told them, forget about the Torah. That's done away with. Yeah, this is what John is fighting against, this is what Peter is fighting against, this is what all the disciples and Paul is fighting against, this attitude and this spirit of Antichrist that created the counterfeit church that God calls the great whore, and harlots that came out of her later on, had daughters, and they fill the face of the whole earth, and they all think they're Christians. In days of old, if you spoke those kind of things, they'll burn you to death, and they did it. And in the future, unfortunately, tragically, yet that's the will of God. God is going to allow another martyrdom of the saints of God who will keep the commandments, you know, the Torah of God, and have His testimony, as you read in Revelation, and He's going to allow them to be martyred by the counterfeit church. And if that happens to us, may God help us, and you know, because without His help, we're not going to be able to make it. And so be aware of that, and be willing to go all the way to the end. And so in verse 19, John is telling us, they went out from us. See, some of those people that were in our midst that came and believed in the message of Christ, atoning for your sins, and then began to be taught about the Torah of God, but then they found out, well, that's not fun. I want to go back to where I came from, you know, go back to my vomit. And so he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They never gave in to this teaching that to have Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have to be like Him and therefore walk in His Torah all the way to the end and give up all the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. You see, and the lust of the eyes. That they were not willing to do. And so they came partway and they went back to it, and you see a lot of them in our midst today have done just the same. The law of God has never been in their heart. And they make it very plain by their teachings and their faith and their belief. They're so glad to go back to where they came from. And they justify it because people don't like to feel guilty. So they're going to justify it. So he says, they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, if the law of God was really truly in their heart, they would not have continued with us. That is, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. They were not genuine. They are the tares. Not genuine brethren. So don't take it for granted that everybody you know in the church is a member of the body of Christ. Let's not forget about all the tares that God allowed Satan to plant in our midst. And He's the one that did it. And they partially like the faith. They partially like the truth. They partially like, you know, the morality that they find in the truth. And people who walk in it. That's nice and good. You know, a lot of people like it. But to accept the entirety of the Torah of God, oh no, no way. That's not good for us. That's done away with it. You know, that's not for us. You know, we're going to live by grace and faith, and that's it. That's all I need. You know, I love you, you love me, and all this fairy tale love that is not based really on the Torah, just partly. That's not acceptable to God. God says people are that are anti-Christ, they're anti-God, they hate God. God has no place for them in His kingdom. And so He says, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see, the Spirit of God was given to you. Why? To lead you to truth. What is the truth? The law of God, the Torah of God, the teachings of God. You see? And so He tells them, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And yet there are many out there who deny. They deny, you know, just like today in verse 22, and that's something we see all around us today, and it's multiplying. He says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the God of Israel? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. See, when he denied that Jesus Christ is a deity, that he gave his life for the entirety of mankind, that's what you are, a liar and an antichrist. There are those in our midst who continue to hang around our midst, you know, in the midst of the brethren, because they like some things about the brethren, and yet they believe all this lies. And we allow them to stick around. Well, they manifest themselves for what they are, and eventually, you know, they'll just go their own way. Sometimes you just don't need to do anything about it. God will take care of them. And so he says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, and he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also, and so forth. You know, so he's making it very plain. People that reject the Torah of God, the Word of God, the truth of God, the teachings of God, you know, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, you know, they all spoke about the same things. They all preach the same tidings, that, you know, the one that is called gospel later on. It's all the same message. All the children of Israel, people of God, you know, all those things. And people that continue in that line, they are the people of God, and the others are not. Therefore, he says in verse 24, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. He's not talking about the beginning from the days of Christ when he appeared on the scene. From the beginning, this is the children of Israel he's speaking to in particular. From the days of the fathers, from the days of Sinai, from the days of Moses and the prophets, from the beginning of the history of Israel. It's the beginning only for the Gentiles. And even for them, many of them, generation after generation, used to come to the temple, used to come to the synagogue and listen to the words of God. That was long, long, long before Christ came on the scene. So he's speaking ultimately about the beginning. And that beginning was from the Garden of Eden. And so he says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, you know, the Torah of God. Don't ever say it's done away with. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Only to those who walk in the Torah and abide by it and in it and walk in it and revel in it and drink it and hunger for it and thirst for it, that's how you eat the flesh of Christ and drink his blood and you become him. That is, having the same nature, same mind, same character. You become holy as he is holy, as he said to Israel. Jesus Christ spoke to Israel, be you holy as I am holy. How? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. He didn't use the terminology there. He said, obey my laws and commandments, statutes and judgments. That's what he's talking about, and that's what Christ was talking about. And the unlearned who did not perceive that he's speaking spiritually, you know, they departed from him thinking he's speaking about cannibalism. That's not what he was talking about. He said, my words are spirit. You know, they give life. Torah is spirit. It's not done away with. And so he's making it very plain. And to this very day, people are forgetting it and are confused. In chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, beloved, now we are the children of God. We who keep the Torah. We who walk in the prophets. We who walk in the Psalms and the writings. We who walk in the magnification of it that was given to us by the Master. The one who stood in Mount Sinai and now came in the flesh. The one that is expounded by his disciples. It's all the same message. That was the faith from the beginning. That's what Jude is saying. You know, let us return to the faith, you know, that was once delivered. From the beginning, he's not speaking about his days. So he says, beloved, now we are the children of God. But it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when the Son of God is revealed, when Jesus Christ is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That means we are going to be deities as he is a deity. That's what it means, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's the mystery of ages. And it does not happen until you eat his flesh and drink his blood. Every statue, every commandment, every precept, every testimony, everything that is applicable to us to this very day, not certain things that were temporary, and even that, you have to know what is temporary, what is not, what has to do with circumstances, what will be again reinstituted. That's why we're going to be just like him. That's why he said all the time to his own people from the beginning of time, from Sinai, be you holy as I am holy. And if you become holy as I am holy, and perfect as I am perfect, and righteous as I am righteous, you will be me. You will be just like me. Then I can give you a spirit body. And you too will have my glory. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was praying to the Father in John 17. You know? And the glory that you gave me, I gave them. That they too may be one in us and we in them. And they may sit also on my throne. That's what he said. He that overcomes shall sit on my throne. You cannot sit on the throne of God unless you are a deity just like him. And yet the false church, being totally blind and ignorant, never understood it. The thing about that foolishness, you know, the end of the road, you go to heaven and you get a couple of little wings and you pluck, you know, a harp. That's all foolishness. No, Christ is coming to this earth and is bringing his reward with him. And this is the reward he's going to be accepted on this earth. Nobody goes anywhere else. He said very, very plainly, nobody goes up to heaven. Nobody goes up to heaven. Heaven comes to earth. I am coming down to earth. And where I'm going to be, you're going to be there too. And I'm going to dwell in Zion, the midst of my people Israel. And there is going to be a temple there. And then I'm going to prepare all mankind through them, through this marriage. And then the Father will come down with heaven in Jerusalem. Now, what do you mean going to heaven? Well, if you haven't read the Torah, you haven't believed it, you haven't read the prophets, you haven't believed it, you haven't read the prophets and the writings and the teachings of Jesus Christ and his disciples, how else would you ever know all these things, you see? That's what the problem is with the counterfeit church. It rejected God, it rejected the teachings of God, the Torah of God, and therefore went into blindness. And many brethren went into blindness because of that. They followed in their footsteps, and to this very day they do it. And yet they think they're in the mother church. Not even know who. None of them knows who and what is the true church of God. So they believe lies and swallow lies and they live by lies, and what would be the end of the road for them? And so he says, we're going to be just like him because we shall see him as he is. And then chapter 3 and verse 4, whoever commits sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Of the Torah of God. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. See? You didn't need to transgress the law, that means. That's what he's saying. And sin is lawlessness. So sin is the transgression of the law, as you read in the old King James Version. How plain can it be? You cannot be lawless. You cannot hate the Torah. You cannot hate, you know, the teachings of the prophets and the Psalms and all that. And everything that the disciples magnified from the Torah and from the prophets and claim that you are a servant of God. You just can't. You're a liar. God doesn't want you to be a liar. God wants you to be in the truth. And so, he says, come out of Babylon. So you can be a man of truth, a woman of truth. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a member of the body of Christ. God speaks to all of us and every single one of us. If we commit sin, we commit lawlessness. And we commit lawlessness, we're antichrist. At that point, we're antichrist. Or else, why do we commit sin? And the moment Lucifer, who was a holy angel, committed sin, became lawless, he became antichrist. And so are we every time we commit a sin. So you should do not take it for granted and lightly, and then think, oh, all I have to do is just get on my knees, say, God, forgive me, and his blood will atone for my sins. It doesn't work that way. That's taking it very lightly. That's making, you know, the grace of God cheap. And the blood of Christ becomes very cheap. You have to realize the awesomeness of it. When we commit a sin, we should realize we are just like the Satan. That was Lucifer. You see, we're exactly in that position. And at that point, we're children of the devil. All of us. Anytime we sin. And God says, come out of it. Repent of it totally from the heart. Vomit it out. Hate it. Don't let it reside in your heart so we'll repeat it again and again. And all of us have done it. That's why Paul said, oh, what a wretched man I am. The law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. So we're struggling with it all the time. But let's not do it very lightly and then go over and beyond that by saying the Torah is done away with. At that point, we have no chance whatsoever to even repent. When we accept that line of reasoning, which is a great lie. And so he says, verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Why? So we can continue to do it? So what is Christ supposed to do? Every day come and then ascend up to the cross and give up his life for us because we continue to do it? He says, whoever abides in him does not, and you know that he was manifested, verse 5, to take away our sins, you know, the transgressions of the Torah. And in him there is no transgression of the Torah, no sin. And if in him there is not any of that, it shouldn't be in us either. So how can we say it's done away with? No wonder why we don't know, and all this time we do not know who and what is the true church of God. The scriptures were very plain. The apostles were very plain. The prophets were very plain. Moses was very plain. Christ made it very plain all this time. God of Israel made it very plain all this time. And yet we were in blindness. Why? Because we still had that attitude toward the Torah of God. And when we do, we become blind. We have only partial knowledge and understanding, just like the people of Israel, as Paul said. Blindness, fell in part upon them. Why? Because they began to transgress the law of God. And when you do it, you become blind. And that's God, exactly what God told Isaiah. You go and tell those people, okay, you transgress my law, you don't like it, I'm going to make you blind. You're going to have eyes, but you're not going to be able to see. You're going to have ears, yes, but you're not going to be able to hear even when people talk to you. Because the transgression in your heart makes you blind, and you cannot see, nor accept it. That's exactly where we are. And unless we truly repent of our hatred against the Torah of God, the entirety of it, even the part that is not applicable to us today, God gave it for a good reason. And Paul called it the glorious administration. Even the parts that were temporary are not applicable to us. If we have hatred toward it, resentment, contempt, we are going to be blind and we're not going to see an awful lot of things. God says, come out of Babylon because of confusion. And people are blind in Babylon. They don't walk in the light. And so he says, verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin, does not commit transgression of the Torah. And how can you do away with the Torah and say it's done away with and not commit sin? It's impossible. First, you have to acknowledge that the Torah is good. That's what Paul said. I know that the Torah is good and holy, and it's spiritual, but I am carnal. Unless you come to that admission and understand it as Paul did, you will never repent, genuinely, and you're not going to be a child of God. God doesn't have half a child. To be his son, he has to be totally acknowledging his Torah that it is holy and true and good. He just, we are struggling with it. That's one thing else. That's something else. God is patient with us. But he's not patient with somebody that says, look, your Torah is done away with, it's old. I don't want it. I have contempt for it. I have resentment for it. God is not even talking to you. Might as well go to the movies. So that's what he's saying here. Verse 9. Well, let's continue. Verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Because that's exactly what the false prophets have done and are doing to this very day. And they're shouting that from the pulpit every Sunday. And from some others on other days. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. And only the Torah can tell you what is righteous and what is not. Just as he, that is God, is righteous. And he who sins, transgresses the Torah, is of the devil. Do you ever think of yourself as such? That you are a son of Satan? And that should be your last name? I'm so-and-so, son of Satan. That's what he's saying here. If you resent the Torah, if you have contempt for it, if you transgress it, if you say, it's not for me. I'm spiritual. I don't need to do it. God died for me. I don't need to do it. Christ did it all for me. I don't need to do it. You're of the devil. For the devil has sinned, transgressed the Torah from the beginning. The instructions of God. That's what the Torah is all about. The teachings of God. That's what Adam and Eve had done. God commanded them. That was the Torah. Don't eat from the tree of life. What did they, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is. What did they do? They ate it. Transgressed the Torah from the beginning. And so he says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, which are lawlessness. And this is the message that God is giving again and again and again from the beginning of time, especially with his people from Sinai to the children of Israel. That's why he sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to bring them back. That's why John is writing all these things. And then anybody else who wants to listen and humble himself, man like Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman centurion who humbled himself and went to the synagogue and all, not only went to the synagogue, built one. And many others who have done that, who became righteous Gentiles, and God says, you can come all the way to me. And with Cornelius, he went even one step further. He gave him the Holy Spirit even before he was baptized. He was so impressed with his love and his faith toward the Torah, toward God, toward his people. You see, even before he had been baptized by Peter, He gave them the Holy Spirit and all those who were with him. That's the heart of their head, because they circumcised the foreskin of their hearts. They read it in the Torah, and they did it. Another occasion, Christ said, when he saw the centurion, that was so obedient to the faith, that he said to Christ, you don't even need to come to my home. I know that whatever you speak will be done. Why? Because that man went to the synagogue. Not inside, he couldn't. He was a Gentile, but outside. And he listened to the Torah, and he believed it, and he circumcised his heart by it, and he feared God. And Christ said, wow, I marvel at that faith, because I haven't seen any such faith, no, not in Israel. You see, so to the Gentiles who have that kind of faith, that circumcise their heart, that fear God, God gives them the Holy Spirit, and then gradually he opens their eyes and hearts to know more and more about his truth. So we never know in that sense, how many people of God are out there, even in the Catholic Church, and the Protestant churches, and the Jewish community, or wherever they may be, the Buddhist community. God knows who they are and where they are. That's what he told Peter, and that's what Peter told the disciples in Jerusalem. And that's what he told Cornelius. I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. Everywhere, in every nation, where there are people who fear God and do his will, obey the Torah to the degree that they know it, God has respect for them. And that's the message that John is giving to the children of Israel and to all those who are willing to listen from the nations. It's not an old stuff. It's not New Testament stuff. It's the same message from the beginning. That's what he's telling them. You heard those things from the beginning. Nothing new about it. It's all the ignorant that invented these two religions. They say the old religion, new religion. Old Testament, New Testament. Oh, yes, there is an old marriage covenant and the new marriage covenant. That's true. But they're all based on the same law. Same Torah. Same teachings. Same God. Same doctrine. The same Savior. The same heritage. The same theology. And that's what Babylon did with it. Totally got it confused. Many of them are sincere and innocent and good people and righteous people to the degree that they understand. God has respect for them in that sense and blesses them and has mercy on them. But still, he wants them to come out of Babylon. He wants all of us to come out of Babylon. He wants his own people, to begin with, to come out of Babylon with a mixture of truth and error in their minds and hearts. That's why many of us have resentment for the Torah. I've experienced that many times, many, many years ago, for about 3 decades. Speak about Abraham, about Isaac and Jacob, about the Lord, about Moses, about the prophets. People say, why do you preach only from the Old Testament? Preach from the New Testament. Immediately that resentment comes up. They don't even realize that it's there. And that's a shame, because that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Because Christ is the one that spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to the children of Israel, and he was the one that married them in Sinai, so what do you have resentment for him? That's very serious. And so, since the beginning of time, this is the same religion. In verse 10, he says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does practice or does not practice righteousness, that is, obedience to the Torah, is not of God. Plain, simple, period. That's the end of the line. Knoweth he that does not love his brother. Where do you get that from? The royal law. Love your brother or your friend as yourself. That's a part of the Torah. It all goes together. You don't love God, you don't love your neighbor, you disobeyed the Torah, you broke the Ten Commandments, you broke all the other commandments. You broke the entirety of the Torah. That's what James is saying. And that is very plain. Verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, you children of Israel. From the beginning, long time ago, 1500 years ago, that we should love one another. And some people that are so blind, confused, they think, well, he's just speaking from the days of Christ. No, Christ came and taught the Torah. And the Torah he gave them in Sinai 1500 years earlier. And 430 years earlier, Abraham walked in that Torah, as he said about him. For I know that Abraham will come, he's righteous. He obeyed my law, my commandments, my statutes, my charge, my ways and all that, you see. And long before Abraham, all the men who were righteous, the men of old, they all walked in the same Torah. It wasn't as magnified as later on in Sinai, but it was basically the same Torah. Whatever they had at the time, that's what they walked by. And this is what he's saying. That's something that was from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. Everything in Noah knew all about clean and unclean. That was a part of the Torah from the beginning. How do you think that Abel, righteous Abel, you know, the son of Adam, knew what to offer to God? A lamb. He didn't offer him a pig. You see? That's because the Torah was from the beginning. God didn't create man and left him in ignorance. He taught him all about his Torah. And people are not aware of that. They think that all that came in Sinai. No, sin was from the beginning. And sin is a transgression of the Torah. The Torah was from the beginning. God doesn't create his world in a world of confusion and ignorance and blindness and deception. He gave it all from the beginning, and then he magnified it as time went by. And that's what he's saying there. So when you go to Genesis, days of Noah, when you go to Exodus, when you go to Deuteronomy, when you go to the Psalms, when you go to the prophets, when you go later on to the writings of the disciples, which later on they began to be written, it's all the same message. Understand the context. In chapter 4, in verse 1, we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world from the days of old." That's where Israel went astray constantly, all the false prophets. And to this very day, Israel went astray, and is going astray, and is still going all over the place because of the false prophets, because of the evil spirits, the delusional spirits of delusion that God says is going to send among those who hate His law, His Torah, because they have no love of the truth in them. So God says, "I'm going to let the demons come among you and deceive you." And they come as ministers of righteousness, as angels of light, speaking through men. And people believe them. And so take it, you know, from that point of view. That's the context. And verse 2, he says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." And Jesus Christ is the one that Paul said, the very person that the people of Israel followed from Egypt through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai as their God. And that people were denying that today. And people have been denying it at that time. And people have been always denying that because they're not of God. We're seeing every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world, and it still is to this very day. And there are those in our midst who speak that way, and others listen to them. And who knows how many follow them. You see? Nothing new under the sun. Children of Israel were always suspect to that. And that's exactly where Satan and his demons would want to concentrate all their efforts. And of course, among all the other Gentiles that would follow the children of Israel and become a part of them. In chapter 5, verse 1, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." In other words, God dwells in him. God opens his eyes. God gives him the spirit to see, to perceive, to understand, to comprehend. That's how you become born of God, you know. It's a process until the final fulfillment of it, when you literally are born of God, in the sense that you become a spirit being. But until that time, it's just a renewal of the mind. This is the context. You know, you went, you know, into the watery grave, so to speak, in baptism. You died and die. You come out of it like a new baby. You're born again in that sense. That's a renewal. That's what he's talking about. And then there comes the final birth into the family of God. When your spirit is resurrected, that is, if you've been dead, or if you're alive, it is changed, and you receive an immortal body, and as it is, your body ceases to exist, to be alive, and so it dies, so we all experience death one way or the other, then you are born into the family of God. And even Christ himself, though he was the Son of God, from the day that he was begotten by God, yet we read that he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. So there are two births. You see? You're born twice. The first time, we're not speaking about the physical one. Everybody goes through it, even the cows go through it, and the worms, so to speak, and the birds. That's not talking about that. First birth is when God opens your mind. Then you are born of God. God plants a seed in you, and you're dead to your sins. And before that, you were dead to your sins. Now you begin the new life. This is what they are speaking about, and many people get confused about it and don't understand what it means to be born again, one way or the other. They occur twice. Now you're speaking spiritually, you see? They're spiritually discerned. Even though Nicodemus was totally ignorant of them, did not understand it, and he was thinking about the birth from the mother. Obviously, Christ was not talking about it. He's speaking about the birth that when God plants His Spirit in you, that's the born again. Then the second time, when you're fully born of God, when your body now becomes spirit being, and your spirit that has been formed all this time in the mind and the likeness of God by obedience to His Torah and walking in faith, you know, is a part of it now. And now you have the spirit that is in you and your body that is also spirit. And that's the fulfillment, the totality of being born of God in its fulfillment. But at this point, he's speaking about the first birth, spiritual birth, rebirth. That's exactly what many are speaking about. And many of us, in our ignorance, we used to make fun of it, not understanding it ourselves. Because we ourselves were ignorant to a large degree of the Torah itself. And when Israel was brought out of Egypt and went through the Red Sea, they were born again. You know, from a dead nation working in their sins and idolatry, now they were baptized. And they came out of the watery grave, so to speak, into a newness of life. That's the born again experience, the first one. That's exactly what many people talk about it. But let's understand it from God's point of view and not our own confusion. And it's ironic that others who have no knowledge as they should, they understand it, and we who have knowledge, and which is fine, we don't understand it. Let's understand it as God taught it. This first birth into the newness of life, as newborn babes, as Peter would say, out of the watery grave, you know, when we begin as a new life and the old man is gone, you know, that's the first birth. That's when you're born of God. And then again, when you're totally born of God and become a member of His family, spirit being, that's another one. And so he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him, who begot also, loves Him who is begotten of Him. So if you love Christ, you love the Father. It's as simple as that. And people that don't understand that just don't comprehend it. You know, this is what all the law and the prophets is all about. That's what they all talked about. That's what Job, way back there, so-called in the Old Testament, he says, when I awake in your likeness, I'm going to be in your likeness, just like you. Born again now, as a spirit being. Before that, he was born again, but you know, the Spirit of God was in him. And he walked in the ways of God and the Torah of God, and he was meek. And he was not like him in all these generations. That's what God himself said. And then he's speaking about the totality, the fulfillment of the born again. And people that confuse the two of them don't understand where they're coming, where they're going. So we're fighting one another in our foolish things where we don't even understand what we are talking about, which is unfortunate. That's confusion, and we should come out of confusion or Babylon. This is what God is telling us. And so all the prophets wrote about this, and to this end, that's what they wrote. And that's what Isaiah finally fulfills. You know, when he ends up his prophecy, he's writing to his children, to the people, to his people Israel. He finally speaks about the ultimate of the heavenly Jerusalem, where the Father will be on this earth, and all things will be made new. And God will make new heaven and new earth. And they are all mankind that are written in the book of life, are all born again at that point, members of the body of God Himself, or the family of God, all spirit beings, all deities. This is what John is talking about. And that's the message he's given to the children of Israel who have heard it long ago. Just bringing it to their attention and magnifying it and giving more details. It's not a new theology, a new concept, new religion, new church. And then in chapter 5 again, in verse 10, he says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Witness. The body of witnesses, children of Israel, from Exodus 12, when for the first time God gave him that name, Edah. Three times you read in that chapter, Edah. What does that mean, Edah? Body of witnesses. And so he's referring to the same terminology. You too become a member of that Edah, the Edah of Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Church, we use, you know, in English. So when we say church, mind you what we are speaking about, the body of witnesses. So he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He's not just a witness because he heard it, but it's in himself. He becomes a witness because he believes it, he internalizes it, he knows it's true. And he becomes a living witness. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar. And people do not believe God, and yet they think that they worship God. And they say the law is done away with. And they don't believe in the ultimate destiny of man. And they claim that they believe in God, that God is in their heart. I believe in the Lord. The Lord is in my heart, and so forth. God says, you're liars. Because he has not believed the testimony, you know, witness, testimony, is the same word in Hebrew. Ed, witness, ed, our body of witnesses, edut, testimony. All come from the same. And it's a book of the testimony, book of the Torah, that testifies to what God is, and who God is, and what he's going to do, and his plans and all that. That book of the testimony was placed in the Ark of the Testimony. Again, Arona Edut. Ark of the Testimony, you see? Whole thing is related to it. That's why the people of God at the end of Revelation are described as people who keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the entirety of the story, you don't know what he's talking about there. And so he says, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is, verse 11, the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And his Son said, I am the life, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the religion of God, I am the Torah of God, and therefore I am life. And people who don't know the entirety of the story don't know what he's talking about. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, period. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, the, you know, the God of Israel, who became Jesus Christ in the flesh. He has always been Jesus Christ. It's not that he became, he always been. That's what he said to the prophets. I'm your Savior. I'm Jesus. That's the same word. And beside me there is none else. Always we have been in that role. From the foundation of the earth he was in that role. Anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people, and happy Sabbath.
The preceding message was taken from the worldwide website at address www.biblestudy.org. This site is sponsored by Barnabas Ministries. Bible study. You have questions? The Bible has answers.